In Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This time of pandemic has allowed for extra space and opportunity for some to catch up on reading, whether that be a series of novels or books that have been long sitting on the shelf untouched. For some, it is an opportunity to catch up on movie watching, whether those are movies that you have loved and want to see again, or perhaps starting a new television series or a binge on Netflix. I know of a family who had committed early on in this time of pandemic to watching all 24 of the Marvel movies that have been made over the years. Now, Marvel Comics has a wonderful series of movies based on those various characters in their comics, and if you are a fan of these, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, maybe you have seen all of these films, or maybe not. I have seen probably close to all of them, not in order, but over a longer period of time than in the last several months. But among my favorite of those Marvel films is the movie Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, Merle is giving a clap on that one. A favorite of yours as well? Excellent. Well, it is a favorite of mine, and if you have seen it, there is one character in particular that as you watch, you immediately have a genuine love for. That character is Groot. Yes, Groot, who is literally a walking tree trunk. You would imagine this to be quite far-fetched, and yet for whatever reason, Groot captures your heart as you watch at least the first film and as the films subsequent follow in the storyline. Now, it may seem quite far-fetched indeed to have a tree trunk or a tree-like figure who is walking around, and add to it that Groot is a most interesting character in that he has one line and one line only. I am Groot. It is his identity, and it is what he refers to every time he is asked a question or has opportunity to make a statement. Well, Groot is on my mind this day as I hear those familiar words from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who is a prophet to a people in the southern kingdom of Judah in a time of division among God's people, a prophetic word comes from Jeremiah that gives God's people hope in a time of exile. That hope is in days that are coming that will be better for them, and that in those days, a branch shall spring forth. In fact, Jeremiah says it this way, "In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." A branch, given an identity, he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. For the people of Judah, this branch of David had been longed for. In this time of exile, they had enjoyed opportunities to imagine what had been and what could be, but there was also a waning hope. Jeremiah offers this word, this comforting word, even in a time that seemed hopeless. No more Davidic kings had come along the line. It seemed that the days stretched on. Jeremiah, who normally is a prophet of doom and gloom, now gives a glimpse of something yet to be. When I've had opportunity to watch a movie or read a good book, perhaps it is your experience too, that for just a while I am able to escape from this reality in which I am living, imagine someone else's world or life, maybe read in someone else's story a nugget of truth about my own story. Good stories connect us into deeper meanings and understandings. In our gospel today that is paired with this Old Testament reading from Jeremiah, Jesus attempts to connect the story of old with the story that is happening now among the disciples. Jesus asks of his disciples what his identity is known to them as, and he is probably a bit perplexed when he discovers that his disciples are a bit confused, or at least sharing the confusion that surrounds them. Some thinking that Jesus is John the Baptist, some thinking he is Elijah. But finally, Peter, in a moment of connecting the story, understands that this is the one who had been prophesied. This is the one that had been longed for from days of old. Naming Jesus as the Messiah connects that story from the past into the present and pushes forward the opportunity for a future with hope. Jesus asks his identity of the disciples so that it may be clear that something new is about to happen among them. This place of past, present, and future is where we find ourselves in this season of Advent. Advent is this beautiful start to the church year where we name again the promises of the past, the fulfillment that is to come in the gift of a Savior, how that Savior again redeems us from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and how it is that we have a future and hope. And in Advent, we name that hope as a promise we are yet to see and a promise of the return again of the Savior, Jesus Christ. That cycle of past, present, and future in Advent continues to move us forward. It is a season centered in this hope. Jeremiah's words for us today are beautifully spoken into a time when we long for Advent hope. For the people that Jeremiah was speaking to, that hope looked like safety. For the days are surely coming, says the Lord. And what will those days contain? Well, Jeremiah says they will contain a place of safety and comfort, something that is known and promised, given from the beginning when God made that promise to Abraham and his descendants. There is a place for you, Jeremiah says. It is a place where you'll be freed from any concerns. You will have a homecoming, so to speak. Advent 2020 has us longing for places of home, places that feel secure and safe again. For Jeremiah, in his time, the exile that God's people were experiencing was one that put them into a place that was filled with unfamiliar lifestyle opportunities, an unfamiliar way of living that was not new or was not known to God's people. Their reality had been overturned. God's people had been scattered apart from one another. And God's people were wondering, how much longer will this last? Advent 2020 has us asking similar questions. We find ourselves in a completely overturned reality. We find ourselves scattered apart from one another, longing to be in community again. And we have asked over and over in these days, how much longer do I have the strength to persevere in this time? What will the future look like after this pandemic? Advent 2020 is like nothing we have ever experienced before. Oftentimes, it is the task of the preacher in the Advent season to pull you back as God's people, to pull you into a place of stillness and waiting and preparation. And in fact, this year, it is exactly where we find ourselves. It is a place and a time in our history and in our own story when we are drawn into the stillness of a moment where our hearts are longing for hope and a new way of being. Oftentimes in this season, we have found ourselves to be weary. Some days we have had good days, and some days have been more challenging. It is now more than ever that we need to hear words of hope and promise. For the days are surely coming, says the Lord. How will that frame your Advent journey? Early in November, I had the opportunity to watch a documentary that featured a special story of a man and his experience in World War II. This was a documentary that was featured on Twin Cities Public Television. It was called Stalag Luft 3, One Man's Story. I found myself captivated by the story of Charles Worley, a lieutenant who had been shot down in an airplane and then taken as a prisoner of war. I would commend to you if there's an opportunity to see this documentary, if it is broadcast again. If not, there's a wonderful oral history recorded on a website you can look up that's on the screen through Concordia University in St. Paul. Charles Worley, again, was a World War II veteran. He was a native of Minnesota, and he spent 22 months in a German POW containment camp. As a prisoner of war for nearly 2 years, his experience was in the same time as is documented in a 1968 film called The Great Escape. And his story of his time as a prisoner of war is a story about exile. Exile that only can be told firsthand by Charles himself, but a story that is compelling as to the willing spirit that perseveres in the face of insurmountable challenges, of the good fortune of being at the right place at the right time, of the gift of faith in the midst of a journey, and how it is that someone does continue to have hope even when all seems hopeless. Among the many stories that Charles tells in recounting of his 22 months as a prisoner of war is a powerful example of how sometimes it is in the little moments or the little things in life that we find our strength, courage, perseverance, and hope. About 10 months into his imprisonment, Charles Worley happened to find a newspaper that had been crumpled up, probably had been in some sort of a care package that had been delivered to the POW camp. And in the corner of that crumpled up newspaper was a coupon. And if you filled it out and sent it in to a company, you could receive a Swiss-made wristwatch. On a whim, Charles decided to fill it out and to send it in to this company in Switzerland to have this opportunity to perhaps receive a new wristwatch even in his captivity. He included an IOU note that said he would pay the $300, the full cost of the watch, when the war ended and when he returned home to Minnesota. An audacious hope in the face of what looked to be difficult circumstances and no promise that he would ever see home again. Charles Worley tells the story of how he was shocked one day when the German guards delivered to him a package. Now, why the guards didn't confiscate that package is still unknown. How it actually got to him is a bit of a mystery, and yet he opened the box to reveal this watch that he had ordered through a coupon in a newspaper. That watch was a part of his experience for the remaining months in captivity, including terrible marches from one camp to another in Germany. And that watch was on his wrist the day in 1945, in an April afternoon, when his POW camp was liberated. He remembers seeing General Sherman come in on a beautiful motorcade, and as they gathered around the town square that they could see from a hilltop, down came the swastika of the Nazi regime, and up went the American flag. The war was ending. Liberation was theirs. Charles Worley remembers looking at his wristwatch and noting the time when he felt again freed. Now, of note is that he did, in fact, return home to Minnesota, and true to his word, Charles Worley sent the company who had sent him the Swiss-made watch the $300 and paid it in full. This time of Advent allows us to mark the days and the hours and the moments when we inch closer to the promised redemption given to us in Jesus Christ. These may feel like long days. These may feel like times of exile for you. And yet Advent is a season that centers us again in the hope we have that will not fail us, of a God who is faithful generation to generation. For the days are surely coming, says the Lord. Those days we long for in this time can be named in a variety of ways, many around the hope for freedoms we once enjoyed, the opportunity to gather again, to not be scattered apart, but to be gathered again in community, the hope we have of a continued promise given to us in Jesus Christ, the one whom we will celebrate as this season culminates on a Christmas morning. But for now, we watch and we wait and we hope. And we remember words also given by the prophet Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a future and hope. Amen.